You have a Bible, can you turn to a well-known part of Scripture in the Old Testament, Isaiah and chapter 53. There are so many important things said in this chapter, we're going to just focus on one of them later, but I'll read the chapter. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, may God bless that reading of his word to each one of our hearts. God, through his prophet Isaiah, in this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, reveals so many things years before about the coming servant, the coming Messiah, the coming Savior that God had promised that he would send. And I picked out just one of the many important things said here years before about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And it's found there in the 10th verse that we read in Isaiah 53. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. It's a statement that teaches us that Jesus' death on the cross all those years ago was an atoning sacrifice, an atoning offering for sin. Here we're being told, in reality, that our sins against God can be forgiven. Here we're being told that man hasn't, but God has come up with a plan, a way, that our sins against him can be forgiven. And it was a plan that involved a divine substitute, a divine offering being offered on the cross all those years ago for our sins against God. God the Father willingly, remarkably, sent God the Son, the Lord Jesus, to be an offering for sin. And God the Son, the Lord Jesus, willingly gave himself to be an offering for sin. The Jews at that time, and even many Gentiles who gave wrong sacrifices, they had an idea about what was involved in the sacrificial offering for sin. It's a remarkable offering we read of here. Because what is sin? Sin is transgressing, breaking the good and holy laws and commandments of Almighty God. We're told in the Bible, God is the judge of all the earth and he will do right. We all like justice to be done. If you read a crime thriller and somebody's done something terrible, or you watch a film and somebody's done something terrible, you're almost waiting for the end when eventually justice will be meted out and that particular person will receive the punishment they deserve. But while we feel that in our hearts generally, we never feel that regarding ourselves with God. Because at the end of the day, the judge of all the earth will do right. And that means he can't let our sin, our breaking of his laws, our disobedience of him, go unpunished. The word of God makes it very, very clear that when I disobey God and you disobey God, it's an abomination to God. It's detestable in God's holy sight. And God makes it abundantly clear to us all. He must righteously punish us for our disobedience, for breaking his laws. The remarkable thing is this. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in infinite love and infinite wisdom, provided a way his justice can be maintained, his laws can be upheld, and yet he can be merciful and forgive us our sins against him. But he makes it clear throughout the Bible, it's impossible for sin to be forgiven without sacrifice. And Jesus, God's only beloved Son, is given and freely came to be atoning offering for sin. You see, God could have justly said about me and about you and about everybody else, they are going to receive the just punishment they deserve for breaking my good and holy laws and commandments. But God, in his amazing love and mercy, has said, I will provide an offering for their sins. I will provide a divine substitute to suffer the penalty their sin deserves, so I can justly and pardon and forgive them. So God the Father, in his love, gave his only begotten Son. He sent him into the world, we're told, to be a savior. And God the Son, the Lord Jesus, for his part, willingly gave himself on the cross to be an offering for sin. It was an overwhelming, infinite act of love by God the Father, God the Son, and indeed God the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus offered himself as an offering for sin, we're told in Hebrews 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. So God sending his Son coming, and the Holy Spirit helping the Son to offer himself up as an offering for sin, was all God's devised plan, way. So even we who have been guilty of disobeying him, breaking his laws, can be justly forgiven. But all the offerings for sin in the Old Testament that the people of Israel had to offer in animals, they had to be without blemishes. Much more the one offering they always looked forward to and pointed to, the offering of Jesus. He had to be without sin. And he was. We're told in the Bible, in him there is no sin. We're told he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. We're told he knew no sin. But you know, one mere sinless man could only be an offering for the sin of one person. But Jesus changes that completely because of his deity, because he is God the Son. It means his offering for sin has an infinite value. So much so, we're told in Isaiah 53, he can bear the sins of many. Many, many people. Indeed, the Bible says a multitude that no man could even begin to number will be forgiven all their sins against God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins, really, we may think disobeying God's nothing. It's an infinite evil. God is God. God is a supreme being. And what an audacious thing on our part to, in effect, say to God, you may tell me to not speak that way. You may tell me not to think that way. You may tell me not to act that way, but I'm going to take no notice. I'm going to speak and act and think however I want. And imagine that doesn't displease God and doesn't need to be dealt with by Almighty God. And because it's such an infinite evil, the offerings of bulls and goats and lambs by the people of Israel in the Old Testament, that couldn't result in the forgiveness of sins. But those offerings were preparing the way for, teaching them, pointing to the one offering that God would provide through which we could be forgiven our sins, his Son, the Lord Jesus. It was absolutely necessary that God's Son, in the same nature as ourselves, without sin, would give himself an offering for sin if we were ever going to be forgiven our sins against God. God is a God of love. There's no question about that. But he cannot forgive my sins or your sins against him without an offering for sin that was acceptable to him being made. And that was the offering of Christ on Calvary's cross. What a thing that God, not ourselves, the ones who have disobeyed God, God would provide a way we could be forgiven that disobedience. It wasn't to make God merciful. God is a merciful God. But Jesus' offering for sin was to open up a way God could justly be merciful and forgive us our sins against him. You see, all God's justice, all the punishment mine your sin deserves from God, is met in Jesus being an offering for sin. If in the plan and purpose of God, he determined the whole human race, the billions and billions of people who've lived upon the earth, if he determined that I'm just going to forgive one of them, he would have still had to give his son as an offering for sin. But God determined that he would forgive a multitude that nobody could begin to number. Christ wasn't suffering for people who've done no wrong. They don't exist. God says we have all sinned and come short of his glory. He was being an offering for those who've done wrong, for those who have sinned against Almighty God. And Isaiah 53 expands and shows us a little bit of what was involved in him being an offering for sin. Our iniquity was laid on him. He bore our sins. For our transgressions, he was stricken. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He poured out his soul unto death. That was it was involved in Jesus dying on the cross so you could be forgiven your sins against God. That was what was required. That was the only way it could happen, that God could justly and righteously deal with the ways we've disobeyed him and forgive us. There's no defect, there's no deficiency in Jesus' offering for sin. If anyone is never forgiven their sins in the whole of their lives against Almighty God, It's not because there's any defect in Christ's offering for sin. It's because that individual has never, ever trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them a sinner. All the blessings of God in Jesus' offering for sin on the cross are offered by God freely to everyone. To every one of us here, everyone in Maryport today, everyone in Great Britain, everyone throughout the world, to every human being who has sinned against God and only deserves God's righteous punishment, God amazingly offers pardon and forgiveness of our sins against him in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, and what a tragedy, how sad, many people will perish and receive the eternal punishment their sins against God deserve, even though Jesus gave himself as an offering for sin. You see, personally, each one of us must by faith trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven our sins against God. Trust in Jesus' willingness and ability to save us a sinner against God. Because if we don't, let's be in no doubt about this. As we see what Jesus suffered there on the cross, as he suffered the penalty others deserve for their sins, we get a bit of an insight to see what we will eternally suffer for our sins against God, which remain unforgiven. I've never met anybody, wherever I've been in life, who didn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every single person I've met, I've known, just like me, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he is the only one in whom you can be forgiven your sins. Every single one here this morning, you need more Christ more than you ever imagine. You really do. Because without him, spiritually you're lost. And spiritually and justly and deservedly, you will be righteously, eternally punished by God for all the ways in your life you disobeyed him. If you don't think you need Christ this morning, it's the biggest mistake you ever made in your life. For me to say to you, you need Christ, is an understatement. It really is. You need him more than you can ever imagine. He's the one offering for sin through whom you can be forgiven all your sins against God. And if you remain unforgiven, it's not because Christ didn't come to suffer and die for sinners. It's not because God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit hasn't provided a way we can be forgiven all our disobedience against him. It's because we're unwilling to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us a sinner. And the awful thing is, we'll unnecessarily, forevermore, all eternity, receive the righteous punishment our sins against God deserve. It needn't happen. It needn't happen. But the only way it doesn't happen is by trusting in Christ, offering for sin, to be forgiven our sins against God. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you profess to be a Christian, somebody you've asked God in his mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ to be merciful and forgive you a sinner, how you should praise and thank God today and every day that God's Son gave himself an offering for your sins on the cross. That Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. What is the only fit response as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a professing Christian, you can give in the light of the fact that Christ gave himself an offering for your sin? Well, Isaac Watson, his opening hymn, tells us it's to love and live for with all our being, the Lord Jesus, who gave himself an offering for our sins. There shouldn't be any such thing as a half-hearted believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should wholeheartedly give ourselves to him. We should love him in sincerity and in truth, because he loved us and gave himself an offering for our sins.